would invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 73. My brother, who pastored for many years, is now a teacher up at Maranatha Baptist University in Wisconsin, said, and he said this when he was much younger than he is now. He said, I have gained new respect for gray-haired people who can still smile. And there's some real truth to that. As you go through life and life does it to you, and you still can smile, sometimes that's difficult. But I want to look at verses 24 through 28, and then we'll get into it. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I should desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all of them that go a-whoring from thee. But it's good for me to draw near to God. I've put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all his works. When I pastored, one of the frustrating things was to see Christians who on one Sunday were up here, another Sunday way down here, and they just, I called them yo-yo Christians. And I've often wondered, what is it that can keep some, because certainly not God's will, but what is it that can keep a Christian from being a yo-yo Christian? And we want to look at some things today. What I'm going to share this morning comes from some personal experiences. I was thinking about this. I have been to cemeteries for personal reasons far too many times. But I'm sure I'm not alone. Many of you have done the same. We went to cemetery for both of my in-laws and my parents. Some of you knew my parents. For a daughter and for two sister-in-laws, and then now for my wife. And I just told the Lord, I'm tired of this. No more. There's something about taking that trip that just changes your life. It just does. It can never be the same. I've been asked, well, when do you go back to normality? You don't. It's a new normality. But it's different. And that's one of the things that people have to learn to expect. So one of the things that God has taught me over the years is that life should not be based on circumstances, because they are so fickle and so unpredictable. And you know this. You and I can't control the circumstances. I can control how I respond to them. And that's the whole point. So God wants us to live above the circumstances. And I want us to talk about several steps in walking in victory. And first of all, we're going to look at the keys to understanding the steps. Number one, these steps are not an academic formula where you just kind of plug them in and say, all right, if I do this and this and this and this, this is going to happen. That's not what they are. It's not a self-improvement program. And they're not psychological tricks. And somewhere, somehow, as Christians, we've got to get past what the world says we need to do, and understand that our reliance is on the Lord, not on some kind of counseling tricks. These are Bible steps of walking in the Spirit. As I yield to the Spirit of God, he'll use these steps to strengthen me. Look at verse 26. He says, my heart, my flesh and my heart faileth. And the flesh, of course, speaks of our physical strength. And the heart speaks of emotional strength. Yesterday I was out doing work in the yard. And of course it was hot and so forth. And one of the things I'm learning is my mind says, you can do this, no problem. I get out and do it. My body says, you can't do this anymore. It's just one of those things. And I'm having a hard time adjusting to that, quite frankly. But I cannot trust in physical, emotional strength as I go through challenges. It's not possible. Because if I do, I'm going to end up as a yo-yo. So let's look at the steps. Step number one. And this ought to be something we just take for granted. But I have to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. One of the things that's happening in our country is there is this movement called Abba God, Abba Father. And the movement is that, and it sounds good if you listen to just part of it, says you can crawl up into the Father's lap and he'll be as a father to you. But when you listen to them, you can go to the Father without Christ. And the Bible says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so there has to be a relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Unless this is true in my life, the next steps aren't going to work. So step number two, have a commitment to the Word of God. One of the things that I learned over the years is that God's people have a lot of trivia knowledge about the Bible, but they've never learned how to make it work in their lives. And even in school, I keep hammering this on kids because they have to read so much of the Bible, and that's good. But the Bible becomes a textbook to them. I remember when I first went to college, came back to the States, and I was excited. I was going to go to Bible college. This is great. And one of my uncles pulled me aside, and he said, "Now you be careful. The easiest place to backslide in all the world is Bible college." And I go, "Yeah, right." Now, see, I'm 17 years old. I know it all. So and it wasn't long before I realized the immensity of the quantity of work caused me to have to read this book like a textbook. I didn't take time to let it soak in. And I believe our church folks are doing the same thing. They're not allowing it. They need to have knowledge of the Word of God. Colossians 3:16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, not as literature, but as mining truths. I teach apologetics. And part of apologetics is nothing more than finding Bible truths to answer life's issues. And there are verses, and I've had young people come to me and say, "I never saw that in that verse." And that's part of what we do as scriptures, is try to help them see the Bible come alive and answer issues that are so critical. See, the truth is, Satan wants me to consider challenges, life challenges, apart from the Word of God. Genesis 3, that's what he did with Eve. Yea, hath God really said? All he wants is for Eve to consider the tree of the knowledge of good and evil apart from the Word of God. And if he could get her to do that, he had her, and he did. And he does the same thing with us. He gets us to look at life challenges apart from the Word of God and try to think them through logically, physically, emotionally, rather than to saturate ourselves with the Word of God. How many times I've heard people say, "I know that's what the Bible says, but you don't understand, my circumstances are different." Of course, we know that's not true. But committing myself to the Word of God sounds like it's a trite statement. Well, we've made it so. In school, I say this all the time. The kids will give me an answer, and I said, "That's Baptist bias. Can you tell me why?" And so the issue is, can I show from the Word of God what it says and what it means? Doing this is not always easy because sometimes it calls for personal sacrifice. And church history is filled with men and women who have made their commitment and it has cost them actually their lives. Step number three, is to stand firm on your doctrinal beliefs. Find out what you believe. I don't remember who it was, but recently, the last couple of weeks, I was talking to an alumnus of our school, and he was telling me that he enjoyed my systematic class. And he said, I said, what was it you enjoyed? He says, well, he said, you walked into class, the first thing you ask is, how many of you are a pre-tribulation rapture? He said, everybody raised their hands. And I said, why? And all of a sudden he says, I don't know why. So not only do I want to know what I believe, but I want to know why I believe it. Can I go to the scriptures and show why I believe it? And has it made an impact on my life? Now understand, this is all in preparation for challenges. When I was a lot younger, I was in competitive sports. I enjoyed the kind of sports where you walked on the field not knowing if you'd walk off or if they had to carry you off. Those are the kind of sports I enjoyed. And but one of the things that we learned very quickly is in order for you to be successful in a competitive sport, there's preparation that had to happen. I think in the Christian life, one of the problems is we wait until we're under pressure, and then we try to make these things work. And it's too late. We need to be in preparation on a daily basis. So when I find out why I believe it, then stand firm on that foundation no matter what the challenges are. Think about this. When you're going through a challenge, first of all, you're vulnerable. Been reading through the book of Job. He was vulnerable. And Satan saw to it that he was vulnerable. But Satan comes and whispers in our ears, is God really real? Does God really love you? If he did, why are you in the mess you're in? I'm sure all of you have had that whispered in your ear at one time or the other. And you say, well, that's a stupid question. It is unless you're vulnerable. Another question is Jesus really the only way to heaven? Am I really saved? Was I sincere enough? Did I believe enough? What about these good people that believe that once you're saved, you can lose it? Is it possible that I can lose it? Those are all things that Satan whispers in our ear. Are heaven and hell really real? Or when I die, do I just cease to exist like an animal? Now, those are just tip of the iceberg. But questions like this, I need to have answered long before I go through the challenges. So when Satan whispers in my ear, I have a quick and ready answer. No questions asked. Step number four, walking by faith. Paul says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Hebrews 11:6, for without faith, it's impossible to please him. So, let's talk a little bit about this matter of faith. First of all, faith is not a feeling. It's a virtue. Now, you may feel it, but it's not what it is. It's a virtue. So what's the difference between a virtue and feelings? Well, let me suggest to you, number one, that feelings happen in the soul. It's an emotion. Where faith happens in the spirit. It's a virtue. It's a spiritual interaction between God and me. And the spirit, according to Galatians 5, ought to feed the soul, not the other way around. So when Christians walk, as Paul calls them carnal Christians, we walk in the flesh, we're walking in the soul and trying to make the soul the answer to the spirit. There's a young lady in one of my churches that was a Bible college graduate, very smart young lady, but she really had a problem with assurance of salvation. By the time I met her, she was in her late 20s. She had been saved 12 times. And had been baptized 3 of those times. And she would come for counseling. And we'd go over and over and over. And finally, I got frustrated with her. I said, the problem is, you want God to meet you on your terms, not you on God's terms. Either the word of God is true, or God is a liar. You decide. Well, she says, I can't call God a liar. But I said, every time you doubt his word, you're calling him a liar. Because her problem was her faith was in the soul, in the feelings, not in the spirit. Virtue is designed to serve as a function, not passive. It's part of the triad of virtues found in 1 Corinthians 13:13. Now, by faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. All three of these are seen in obedience to the word of God by faith. As I take all three of these virtues and apply them into my life, they begin to prepare me and strengthen me. But it's important that I exercise faith. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, let me ask you a question. According to Romans 10:17, how do I increase faith? By the word of God, okay? Look at it more specifically. How do I strengthen my faith? It is the word of God. The little word in that verse, the hearing. The gate of the ear. The gate of the eye increases knowledge. The gate of the ear increases faith. And there has to be a balance of both. To have just the gate of the ear, you're going to end up in fanaticism. If all it is the gate of the eye, you'll end up in intellectualism. But if you take those two and balance them, that's one of the reasons we hear preachers say all the time, got to be in church. It's not because they're on an ego trip and want you to hear what they're saying. It's because they understand that being here strengthens the hearing. One of the things that one of the classes I teach this semester is leadership. And I tell people in that class, find books. I used to call them cassette tapes. Now they can just find them online. But find leaders. And listen to what they have to say. How did they become what they are? Strengthen faith. So, as I exercise faith, in my opinion, God does not ask me to take huge steps of faith. Instead, he asks me to take a series of baby steps. As I'm obedient to taking those baby steps, that huge step that is to come in the future is nothing more than one more baby step. But if I don't take these small baby steps, I won't be able to take that huge step. Say, so, well, I my faith is weak. Well, that dad says, Lord, help my unbelief. And I think maybe sometimes that's where we have to start. But let me share something with you. Galatians 2:20, we all know that verse. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And here's the clincher. In the life which I now live by in the flesh by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Words make a difference. In verse Galatians 2:20, in the life which I now live, I live by the faith of what? Okay, what is the preposition? Faith Is it in the Son of God? What's that? By? It says, the life which I live by the faith of the Son of God. What does that mean? Remember when Jesus is ready to go to the cross, he told his disciples, my peace I give unto you. Let me suggest to you, and I'm not going Calvinist now, but let me suggest to you that this faith is tapping into the person of Jesus Christ. Colossians 1. And so that I don't have to exercise personal faith, it's the faith of Christ working through me that makes it work. All of a sudden, I have limitless amount of faith because it's faith of Christ. If I just learn to tap in. So like muscles, faith has to be exercised, and we learn how to use them. Just learn to relax in Christ. That, I used to say this all the time, makes good preaching tough practice. Learn to relax in Christ. Life is closing in on you and you're just supposed to relax? Well, if you trust Christ, yes. But it takes practice. Determine God's will. Learn to step out on faith. My youngest son is preparing to candidate in a church down in Texas. And he called me yesterday and he said, the date for candidacy has been established, but he says they've not called me yet. He said, I put my house on the market yesterday and today I have an offer. He says, we could be homeless. I said, Rodney, that means stepping out on faith. Is this what God told you to do? If it is, God always pays his bills. So just trust God. Now, it's easy for me to say that. I'm not going to be homeless. I understand that. But that's part of learning how to walk with God. Is learning that he is faithful even in very difficult times. In our passage in Psalm 73, he says, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Verse 28 says, I've put my trust in the Lord God. God is the strength of my heart. Keep your fingers in Psalm 73. We'll be back there momentarily, but turn to Psalm 27. It's a verse that God gave me several months ago. Verse 14 of chapter 27 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. It's interesting, the wait part. Now, I'm no good at waiting. I just am not. If God's going to do it, let's do it and get it over with and let's move on. That's who I've always been. And the Lord says, just chill. Just chill. But then he says something. He says, and be of good courage. You know it takes courage to wait. It takes courage to just sit and wait for the Lord. And that's what he says, be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thine heart. If I wait and have good courage, I've got that courage is tied to trusting in God, then he'll strengthen my heart. Back to Psalm 73. I draw near to God as I put my trust in him and him alone. And it's a commitment, not an experiment. Ever been soul winning and somebody says, well, I've tried everything else. I'll try Jesus. That's not how it works. And it's the same thing in the Christian life. It's a total commitment. Say, all right, Lord, I'm trusting in you and in you alone. Isn't it interesting? We trust God for eternity and for eternal soul. But we have a hard time trusting him for a paycheck, for something simple. When our youngest daughter was in the hospital, she was in the hospital for it would be a little over 3 months, waiting for a heart transplant. And her life verse was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And there was a lady anchor for CBS in Philadelphia. Her name was Pat Shiraki. And she had come up, and one day we came up after we would finish our duties at church, and then we'd go and spend the rest of the afternoon and evening with Tanya. And one day we come up there, and Tanya's busy. And she's sitting with somebody, and I recognized her, but I didn't know who she was. And she left eventually. She had been there for a couple of hours. And I said, "Tanya, who's she?" She said, "Her name is Pat Shiraki." I go, "Oh, yeah, I know who she is. She's on the 6 o'clock news every night." Well, Pat, for some reason, just fell in love with Tanya. Matter of fact, it was so that during surgery, the surgeon allowed Pat to come in with the CBS filming crew and actually film the surgery. I never saw that film. I'm glad I didn't. But one of the things that Pat said in one of the clips that we did see, she said Tanya had had her surgery and had the transplant. She closed that clip by opening Tanya's Bible, taking a close shot at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And Pat says, "Someday, maybe I too will learn to trust the Lord like Tanya did." My daughter, my older daughter, who some of you have met, had called Pat Shiraki for something, and Pat's now retired. And she said, "Pat, do you ever think about Tanya? Do you remember Tanya?" She said, "Oh, I think about her all the time. I use her as illustrations when I go speak." But the point is, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. That second part is tough. Lean not unto thine own understanding. It's one thing to say, "Oh, I trust God," but this is what God has given me. I had a man say, "Yeah, but God gave me a mind. He intends for me to use it." That's not what it says. Lean not unto thine own understanding. I use my mind to get in touch with what God says and then obey God. Step number 5, learn to glorify the Lord. Look at verse 28. "I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all his works." 1 Corinthians 10:31, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." You see, as God puts us through difficult and challenging times, it's not about us. It's about him. He wants to use you and me as a living testament of his grace and of his power. My living by faith, rather than my feelings, is a testimony to an unsaved world and of other believers that God is real and the word of God can be counted on no matter what. It's not about you and me. It's about him. And if I can understand that and be able to internalize that truth, then whatever happens in my life, I have to understand it's about God. It's about bringing glory to him. Now, having said that, does that take all the pain and suffering away? No, of course not. I think about Paul in prison. He speaks, especially in the book of Philippians, he speaks as though he is living in a palatial place. But Paul has found the secret to peace, and he says, "I've learned that whatever state I am therein, to be content." The key to that verse is the word "learned." He's learned that. And you and I need to learn the same thing. So the question is, how do I avoid yo-yo Christianity? Simply put, I need to learn to walk by faith, not by feelings. Not be ruled by circumstances, but be ruled by the Word of God. If I can accomplish that, then God will give me strength to go through it. It's not one of the songs that we would approve of in our churches, but a song that's become real to me over the years is the chorus. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. That truth is so true. And I know that for many of you, you found it to be true as well. But I thought I would just share from you, from my personal experience, what God has done in my life. And maybe some of the things that we've been able to say this morning will help you as you prepare for whatever it is that God has for you, that God will give you strength. Father, I thank you that your word is true. I thank you that you are true. I pray, Father, that you would help us and strengthen our faith, that we might not only personally experience your grace, but that we might be a walking testimony of your grace. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You're dismissed.